Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 1027, and it is really good to be with you this morning. I hope that you are well. I hope that you had a good election experience. I'm filling my days with thanksgiving to God for relatively peaceful elections in spite of some of the dire predictions that we heard. We had a very long queue, but I was so impressed that everyone was friendly, even the officials who'd been there all day, and for that I'm truly grateful. Last week I looked at Trinity Sunday with you, before that Pentecost, and I do want to say thank you to all of you for the feedback that you give me, for the stories you share. I love hearing from you. This week we've had several holy days, and I'm going to be focusing on Corpus Christi, which was on Thursday, because that is central to some of our faith, and I believe in the power of the Eucharist. So I really want to focus on Corpus Christi. Corpus Christi, of course, is the Latin for the body of Christ, and it refers to the Feast of Corpus Christi, a day which honors the institution of the Holy Eucharist. It is Jesus present in the bread and the wine in the Holy Communion. And I'm not going to look at whether you believe in transubstantiation or not, or why I believe in it, because I think that is everyone's journey in their own faith community. I want to look at the practical side of the Eucharist. Now, in the Anglican Church, we talk about the Eucharist. The Roman Catholics might call it the Mass. It is also a service of communion, and I like that word, communion, because it shows that we are one with God and one with each other through the power of God as we receive nourishment from God through the body and blood of Christ. I'm going to start by reading from Mark 14, and I want to set the scene by just reading verses 1 or 2 because it shows us how the people were plotting at the time to get rid of Jesus, and then I'm moving to verse 10. So when we read now from Mark 14, verse 1 and 2, "Now the Passover, the festival of unleavened bread, was only 2 days away. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But they said to each other, 'Let's not do it during the festival, or the people may riot.'" It just points to the way in which they were scheming, the way in which they were thinking. Let's get rid of him, but we need to do it quietly so that no one will riot because of the good work that he was doing. Then Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' close 12 disciples, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted, and they promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. And he was obviously watching for an opportunity where Jesus would be alone or just with his disciples and there wouldn't be big crowds. We are told then on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make these preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there.' The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them, and so they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12, and while they were reclining at the table, he said, 'Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, the one who is eating with me.'" The disciples were obviously saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It's one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." And while they're eating, Jesus takes bread. When he's given thanks, he breaks it, gives it to his disciples, saying, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he'd given thanks, he said to them, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many." And he gave them all a sip. "Now truly I tell you," says Jesus, "I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I'm going to unpack this in a moment, but first on the mighty Hot 1027, Spirit of the Living God. And let us remember that we do serve a living God.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Spirit of the Living God on the mighty Hot 1027. Good morning. You are listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. And it is good to be with you. If you've just joined me, good morning. Today we're looking at Corpus Christi, the feast of the body of Christ, the institution of the Eucharist, we believe. And we were told that Jesus is having dinner with his last disciples, a Passover dinner, and he says, one of you is going to betray me. He then goes out to the Mount of Olives after they've sung a hymn. Now let's unpack this a bit. We're told when evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. And while they're reclining at this table, he says, one of you is going to betray me. Now, can you imagine what it was like if you were there? It always moves me. It touches my heart. It makes me sad to think that Jesus knew who would betray him. And he's telling the other disciples. And yet, and this is what moves me, because it's something we need to learn from. Jesus knows who's going to betray him, and yet he doesn't kick him out. He eats with him. He shares his last meal with the very person who's going to betray him and hand him over to be crucified. Jesus, we know, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus shows us the way. And we need to extend that grace to all and forgiveness, even while we don't condone their actions. And it's just something that always hits home to me. Why didn't he just say, go away, get out? Why didn't he stop it? But of course, Jesus does beg with God afterwards, take this cup from me. And yet he says, not your will, but mine. So he goes through with what he needs to, and he extends that grace even to the one who's going to betray him. If you were one of those disciples, I'm sure you would also have experienced deep sadness, perhaps even shock. I think I would have been shocked. I'm sure most of us have experienced betrayal at some stage, even if it's not to us directly, but maybe to one of our close friends. And these were Jesus' closest companions, and one of their own, one among them, was going to betray the person that they were following. I'm sure they must have also been a bit of worry about themselves. Their teacher, their leader, was about to be betrayed, leaving them vulnerable. Then we're told while they're eating, Jesus takes that bread and says, take, eat, this is my body, as he breaks it and gives it to his disciples. He takes the cup when he'd given thanks, he gives it to them, and then he says, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I'm not going to drink again from the fruit of the vine until I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Now, obviously, he's alluding to his betrayal, his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. Then we're told they sung a hymn before they went out to the Mount of Olives. Even just before he's betrayed, he knows he's going to his death, they sing. And I think that's why it's so important for me, for us to realize how important worship is in all situations. At university, before exams, a friend and I used to draw aside and sing choruses. This was in my youth. And it really helped to center us and give us clarity of thought. And we find more and more people coming to join us. When I feel sad, when I've suffered some sort of loss, or I'm stressed, I find it helps my soul to sing hymns. But all of that makes me feel better. What about God? Now, I did read once that God lives on our praises, and I certainly don't agree with that. I think God is not dependent on us, but it does please God when we worship and praise God. But if you are going to worship today, I think even if it's at your home right now, with the choruses we're going to sing, let's really sing out loud from our hearts, thinking how Jesus had the grace and the courage and the will to sing just before his crucifixion. So after they've sung hymns, they go out to the Mount of Olives, where we know that he asked them to keep watch with him until he was betrayed. And of course, the disciples didn't do that. And then he begged God to take this cup from him, as I've said. And yet he ended, not your will, God, but mine. Jesus then mentions a new covenant. Now, what is a covenant? When we look at covenants, there's several covenants in the Bible, but five covenants, I think, are crucial for the understanding of the story of the Bible. You have God's redemptive plan, the Noahic covenant with Noah, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenant. A covenant, of course, in the ancient world was similar to what we might call a contract, a treaty, or will. Each covenant is established for the basis of a relationship, and there are conditions for that relationship, promises and conditions of the relationship, and consequences if those conditions are unmet. The promise for obeying the covenant with God was that we would have the blessing, the presence, and the protection of God, and Jesus makes a new covenant with us that we will all inherit eternal life if we believe in him and if we surrender our lives to him and invite us in. So the new covenant really is the promise that God makes to all humankind that he's going to forgive sin, restore communion with those whose hearts believe in Jesus. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. His death on the cross and his resurrection is the basis of the promise, and it's confirmed in Jesus' words when he said, "This is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many." Jesus allows us to become one with him through the power of the Holy Spirit, and for me, through the manifest power of communion. More on this in the moment, but first, on the Mighty Heart 1027, change my heart, O God.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Change my heart, O God, on the Mighty Heart 1027. Good morning, you're listening to Sunrise with Shona. If you've just joined me, we've been exploring my feelings and my beliefs about Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, about communion, the Eucharist, the Mass, all different words to describe the same process where we come forward together to receive from the altar the body and the blood of Christ, an institution that we believe was established by Jesus at the Last Supper, the Passover, as he was with his disciples. And I believe because he knew what they were going to be facing and the persecution that they were going to face. So now let's move on. Some people have said to me, why the Eucharist? Why communion? And I believe and have experienced in my own life the power of sharing a Eucharist with community. And of course, the Eucharist should always be in community, not just by yourself. Years ago, I read a book looking at the healing power of the Eucharist to the family tree, and I was amazed at what I was reading. Testimony after testimony of how when communion is shared and family issues are laid on the altar, miraculous healings take place. And I've practiced this in my own faith journey with God. And I am always in awe of how, when we surrender all to God, offer it to God in the context of the Eucharist, in the context of communion, amazing and wonderful things happen, miracles happen. And it's not about magic. It's for me the manifest power of God working when we surrender and worship in community and ask for God's help. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we do receive that. And I believe that as we eat the body of Christ and drink his blood from the one cup, God's power is released and healing flows. That has been my own experience. And I mean, I know some people don't use one cup. I just stress that because that's what we do. But if you share multiple cups, it's all been blessed in one cup and then shared out. So it doesn't really make that much difference. But I believe that the manifest power of God is released and healing flows when we share communion together. It definitely strengthens communion. And for me, frequent communion also strengthens contact with Jesus and allows us to participate in Jesus' sacrificial work. It reminds us that we belong to the kingdom of God and ultimately we're looking forward to our full union with God on Jesus' return or when we pass from this life to the next. Communion for me is spiritual nourishment, and I think the timing of sharing that Last Supper, as I said earlier, with his disciples, instituting the Eucharist, is very significant and important. Jesus knew what they were going to be facing, not just his death, but the persecution that would follow, and he knew how much they would need spiritual nourishment to keep going, to be strengthened, to be protected, to go out and carry on with the work of spreading the gospel, and so he instituted what we now call the Eucharist, the Mass, or Communion. When we listen to his words, Jesus' words in John's Gospel, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." That's John 6. The disciples needed it then, and we do now. When I look at the Eucharist, I believe that just as food sustains life, the Eucharist sustains the life of our souls. It gives us the grace we need to deny ourselves and to live a life for Christ, to live out our life in the power of Christ, surrendering our own will to that of God. The more love we have for Jesus, the less we're going to love our souls. It is a powerful symbol of reconciliation, of forgiveness and unity with Christ, bringing healing and wholeness to all who participate with their hearts open to God and the Holy Spirit. There are also fruits that flow from the Eucharist, fruits that flow from the union with Jesus. We live in the power of Christ. We have renewed strength, as I said, to go out and be Jesus' hands and feet and voice in the world, being an agent of healing, grace, forgiveness. It helps us to follow in the way of Christ and to discern Christ's will for our days. It helps us make the right choices. It strengthens us for each new day. It's a lived experience of journeying with Christ. And it also brings healing to ourselves and, as I mentioned, to our families. It brings unity in the church as the body of Christ. Now, I could go on and on. And as you can hear, I love Corpus Christi. I love the Eucharist because there is so much. But for me, what we need to remember is that Jesus did this and said to his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me." He knew they needed it. I know we need it now in this uncertain world. And so I want to end this morning with a prayer that we use for Corpus Christi. God of grace and glory, in the Paschal mystery, you established the new covenant of reconciliation and grafted us into the body of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Empower us with this love and make us one. And he prayed, as he prayed, that we should be one. And that is the prayer that I want to wrap up with this morning. To end, there is none like you, and open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And I hope and pray that as you sing those, you remember Jesus singing just before he went out to the Mount of Olives to be betrayed, singing hymns with his disciples. And so let's sing with all our hearts. I hope that you've enjoyed your time with me this morning. May God bless you and your family. If you're going off to receive communion, let's remember what a wonderful privilege it is to be able to receive together as a community from the table of our Lord. May God bless you, protect you, and anoint you. Have a wonderful week. If you need to get hold of me, you can do so. Shona@hot1027.co.za.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.